quite a prayer. Careful, diligent, and intelligent preparation. I feel like that's a high calling. Definitely careful, definitely diligent. I'll let you judge whether it's intelligent or not as we go. If you want to grab a Bible that's near you or in front of you, behind you, and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. That's on page 1174 in the church Bible that I have. And if you just open it there and we'll come to that. I can just get these bits sorted. So, 4 Sundays ago, we had our Vision Sunday here as a church, as South Parade. All the mission communities came together, and Peter sort of put to us these 4 emojis that the ministry team and elders had prayed through and come together to think of this being our vision for the next year. Now, I wonder if anybody can tell me what those 4 emojis stand for in the sense of what we as a church are committing to. Jenny's pointing to the pillars. You can cheat and look at the pillars if you like. Jill's right underneath one. I think she's got one. Go on, Sue. Prayer. Encouragement,
adventure,
growth. And she didn't even have to look at the pillars to remember those. So they were the things that we wanted to commit, to ask God to help us create a culture which had those 4 elements in. So a culture that was across mission communities, that was a part of South Parade. And as a mission community here at Scent, we've been exploring the spiritual gifts. So we've been looking at those, considering how they work out practically, what they mean. And so tonight we're going to look and consider these, the 4 elements of our vision alongside the spiritual gifts and what that looks like. And occasionally throughout the sermon, this young man will pop up. Oh, it's not showing very well because the light's a bit too bright. This is Phil Burns, who came to the Scent Weekend Away last week over in the Westwood Centre. And so I've taken some of his thoughts because I thought it was really important that not only those of us who were there remind ourselves about what we were challenged on and encouraged with, but also that those things have an impact for all of us. I think there was something to say for all of South Parade and not just for those of us who gathered at that particular weekend. So we're going to consider the 4 parts of our vision and in light of spiritual gifts. And we're going to do that by looking at Ephesians chapter 3 and starting at verse 14 and then rolling into chapter 4. So let's read these verses together. So starting at verse 14 of chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, God has been grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. For from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So it would be helpful if you keep those passages open and have that before you, because we're going to kind of hop, skip and jump through that passage as we consider the four elements of our vision for 2017. And so the first element is that of prayer. And that's where verse 14 of chapter 3 begins, with Paul being before the Father. It says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." So Paul is coming into the presence of God with a prayer for the Ephesians. And here you get something that's very eloquent, very rooted in Scripture and looking to the glory of God beyond the kind of the circumstances perhaps that the church at Ephesus were in. I remember as a student being given this verse by a friend who was encouraging me to just kneel before the Father. In the presence of God, we received comfort and safety, and that words weren't always necessary. But just to be in God's presence was better than to be somewhere else. And last weekend, Phil encouraged us to seek after God's presence and not his presence. So we were considering again spiritual gifts, but to seek God's presence first and not his presence. So to be in God's presence, to seek for that. And so as a church being one that is prayerful, it's not just to say that we believe in prayer or that we will host more prayer meetings as a church, but that we long to create a culture and to allow God to help us to create a culture where we enjoy his presence above anything else. That's what David sang about in the Psalms. You know, how lovely it is to be in your dwelling place, O Lord God Almighty. My soul longs and thirsts for you. This is someone who had spent time with God to such an extent that being without him sort of tore David apart. There was a yearning within him. And when we consider spiritual gifts, when we consider how we're going to grow as a church, it's not to think of growth as being, as prayer being a means to the end of growth in the church, but that to enjoy God's presence is our priority, to develop relationship with him, to encounter him. You'll have heard perhaps friends of yours say to you, you know, you talk about Jesus as if he's your best friend. We hope that will be true for each of us, don't you? I know there are weeks in my life when that isn't always true, when Jesus hasn't been my best friend, when maybe Amy has been my best friend, because she's the one that I spent most time with, most time talking to and listening to. But we're called, the calling that God places on us as children of his, as people of part of his family, is to spend time enjoying his presence, in praying to him and getting to know him better. When we consider encouragement and we think of the passage here in Ephesians and we think of spiritual gifts, if you look with me at verse 4 of chapter 4, this is a great encouragement that there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, for those of you who have a passing interest in the band Blue, you know, that verse there, it talks about one this, one that. But when we look at it, we want to think about one another, the fact that we are all in that one. When God sees the church, he doesn't see Sent, Headingley Morning, Connect, Crag, St. George's, Lister Hill, Emmanuel Baptist Church. When God sees his family, he sees the one church. So that's us who are gathered here together and those that are gathered in secret across the world this evening. We are called to be part of one church. And so that is an encouragement, I feel, for me, because we are part of that. We get to join in on that. Jeff reminded us last week that when we are part of God's family, we enter into the body, but that we are not any old body, but that we are Jesus' body. That's a fantastic encouragement to think that if we've met Jesus for ourselves, if we've known him and know him as our best friend, that we're called to be part of his body. And so that encourages us because it's not about what we can do. It's not about the gifts that we exercise or the gifts that God has given us or the gifts that we are seeking for. But the encouragement is that by accepting Jesus as our Saviour, as welcoming him as our best friend, we become part of that one body. We recognize him as our Lord and we have one hope with him. And as we look to encourage one another in the body, as we look to our part and the role we have to play, Phil encouraged us last week to think about character and not competence. So when thinking about spiritual gifts, it's not about someone necessarily just being able, but it's about the character behind it, the godly character that is being developed and that we see, hopefully, in one another. And in Ephesians 4 and verse 2, we have just four elements of godly character that Paul wants to make sure are present within the church. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Think of that as a checklist for yourself. Be completely humble. Gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. That is a high calling for all of us. That is a high calling for the church. But Paul, in the context of spiritual gifts, as he goes on, recognizes that these have to be present for a church that is going to seek to, I guess, exercise and move out into spiritual gifts. Because the reality is that things will go wrong. That as people are learning to use their spiritual gifts, that there'll be mistakes. So we'll need to bear with one another in love. Maybe we'll need to cope with awkward silences better. Maybe we'll need to cope with the fact that we can't always be in control. That we can't manage everything. We need to be humble and gentle with each other. That if we see a gift being used, but it has the potential but isn't working out, we don't just then strike through that person and think, no, nay, never again will they preach at South Parade. And it's a little bit awkward that you laughed at me when I said that, as if that's coming at the end. But that we give people chances, and not just a second chance. And if someone's to grow in the gift of prophecy, to give them a chance, and not just a second chance. To think about hospitality and caring for the needs of others. Think about giving people more than just a chance to do that. Because as we look to encourage one another into our spiritual gifts, and as we look to grow as a church together, it's important that we look out for each other. And not only look out in terms of maybe making the most of opportunities, but call out in one another the gifts and the skills and the abilities that you see. I've been struck on a couple of occasions during tea and coffee as part of this series, where people have sat and said, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. And actually, I didn't take that as an opportunity to call out in them what I see in them. And I've missed the moment there. But maybe it'll be during tea and coffee tonight, or perhaps it'll be in your small group or your home group or in an accountability relationship that you have. So that there can be no one sat who thinks, I don't know what my gifts are. As a leadership team at Scent, we prayed in the summer about what was going to come in the year ahead. And we wanted people to not just... we didn't want people to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, but we wanted people to be able to say with confidence that God is developing this gift in me. And we have a role to play in that, but we as a body have a role to play in that as well, in seeing that in one another, in giving someone the courage. Because sometimes it takes someone else, doesn't it, to tell you that you're good at something or to say that you see something in them. And so in that moment, you become God's mouthpiece to say to someone, I see in you generosity that is beyond normal generosity. I see in you encouragement that is beyond normal encouragement. And I call that out as God working in your life. As we seek to encourage one another, we prepare ourselves for the adventures that are to come. And in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, this is a shorter list of spiritual gifts that Paul gives out. It was he, so Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. And elsewhere in the, you know, Romans and in 1 Corinthians 12, we see some of the other spiritual gifts mentioned. And as we considered in the kind of reflective service here, thinking about our ministry shape, thinking about our personality, our experience, our abilities, how all those things kind of come together and God places them and puts them in you. And so you have a role to play. I told my small group that I would try and keep football analogies to a minimum, but I couldn't resist one. So this is Jamie Carragher. He used to play for Liverpool in kind of the 90s, noughties. John Gannon's got a lot of time for him, I'm sure. So Jamie Carragher was like just a dogged defender, really. But the Liverpool fans absolutely loved him because he was, even though he supported Everton, and he still supports Everton, they loved him to pieces because he played his heart out for that team. So much so that the Liverpool fans would sing to the theme of Yellow Submarine, "We all dream of a team of Carraghers." Now, I'm not going to get you to join me in a rendition of that. But we all dream of a team of Carraghers. I think that's a nightmare. I don't think that is a dream. Because if you had a football team, if you had 11 players who were Jamie Carragher, you would have a functional team and you would have a hard-working team. But you would have a team that was lacking in creativity and unable to score. I'm sure he got about 6 goals in his entire career. But you would lack creativity and goals. Likewise, when we look at the spiritual gifts that are seen in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, God doesn't want a church full of apostles. And he doesn't want a church just full of teachers or evangelists or encouragers or people who show hospitality. He wants a church that has all the gifts represented. All the gifts. And so we need to be ready to release people into that. Because what does it mean to release someone into being an evangelist? Well, I'd suggest for one that that means you'll see them less at gatherings on a Sunday, in your home group, because they're out evangelizing to people. And then a consequence of that would be you'd have new people coming into your services, hopefully, or new people into your small groups. And so you've got to be ready for that. If we're going to release new teachers and preachers, then I'm afraid you've got to be ready for the odd dud sermon, and you probably get that already, let's be honest. But you've got to be ready for maybe more of those. Because we want people to learn how to be a preacher and teacher. If you are going to release new administrators, those who have got the gift of administration, then there are going to be more forms to fill in. And there are going to be more diligence and faithfulness. Because that's what's needed. Because otherwise a building falls apart and nobody turns up and things go wrong. And so we need to do all of those things and release all of those types of people and all the others that I haven't mentioned. And in doing that, we do it with the character that was spoken about earlier. We do that with patience. We do that with gentleness and humility. And we bear with one another when mistakes are made. Last week, round the campfire, Phil shared with us something that had been shared with him as part of the ministry team that sort of runs at Skipton Baptist Church, and that was kind of given to him in preparation for the weekend. But he said that during his preparation, he felt this was became more and more apt for Sent as a mission community and for those who were gathered, that you are the fire builders, and he being God, is the fire. And so as we go about that adventure, and on the weekend, we got encouraged everybody to bring something to the fire, whether it be a stick or a twig or a log or whatever it might have been. And so we all bring that. We all bring our gifts, our experience, our abilities. And we allow God to be the fire. God to be the one who attracts people to himself. God to be the one who warms people's hearts. As we think about growth and what it means to grow, I was really struck in preparing this final verse that we read together in verse 16 of chapter 4. From him, so from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. So that's me, that's you, that's the person sat next to you, it's the person sat behind you, in front of you, it's the people who aren't here tonight. Being part of God's family and being part of God's church is not a spectator sport. And we apologise if we've given you that impression, because you have a part to play in the family of God that gathers here at South Parade. You have a part to play. In the earlier verses, in verses 4, 5, and 6, where we get all these, you know, one God, one baptism, one faith, one hope, all of those ones. Immediately after that, in verse 7, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So we're all part of the one, but God gives to each one of us. So there's so many things that we are all the same and all part of. So we're all part of that one body, that one faith, that one hope, that one baptism. But to each one, so that means to each individual one. And as, again, as Jeff reminded us last week, of the building, of God carefully choosing the right people at the right time to be part of his body. So for you and for us to grow together, we need everyone to play their part. And so if you're wondering, how do I play my part? Perhaps ask someone, what gifts do you see in me that could be exercised here? Or maybe ask yourself, what is Sent South Parade lacking? And then ask God to develop that in you. What are we lacking? And ask God to develop that in you. Phil, just towards the end of the weekend away, said, I think it was Jimmy Cricket, the Irish comedian, who used to say, there's more. And for those of us who were there, he was encouraging us to think about, there is always more with God. There is always more. Don't think of yourself at just a level. Now, I was really struck by this, because during the evening when we considered our shape, afterwards Chris, Tim and I were putting the chairs back in the back half, and Chris was kind of asking me, well, what do you think, what's God been revealing to you through this series? What have you considered your shape to be? And I said, oh, Chris, I get asked that question at job interviews. You know, I go for job interviews at church, and they ask me, you know, what are your spiritual gifts? They ask me, and I kind of just, not that I got the answer pat and I've got it all together, but I thought, not that I'd made it by any means, but that I was happy with my lot, and I was happy with and content with the gifts that God had developed in me. And then when I sat there last week and thought, oh, there's more. Not in a selfish way, not in an arrogant way, but that God has more for each of us. So if you've seen God work through you in one way, then he wants to keep doing that, but there's still more. And that comes through the character, doesn't it? Because as we're trusted with one thing, God sees our character in it, then there's more to come. God wants to release that in you. He wants to develop your character and give you greater competence. But it's not about competence first, it's about the character first. When we consider spiritual gifts and growth as a church, and all these things, the verses that will come up now from verse, it's not 17 and 18, I've got the reference wrong. But it's in the middle, so it's verse 12 and 13 of Ephesians 4. So all of these spiritual gifts that are mentioned beforehand, these are to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's where we're heading. And I'm sure you're probably sat there as I'm stood here thinking, we've got a long way to go, haven't we? To reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In the passage in Ephesians, it talks about Christ being the head. Christ being the brains of the operation. And we are part of his body. And so we're going to pray together and pray for one another as we do that. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you call us to be part of your body. We thank you that you've given us the Spirit to be with us and to work through us and to release things in us that we didn't think and we don't think that we're capable of. Lord God, we pray that you'd help us as a church to be a church that prays, one that enjoys your presence wherever we find ourselves. That we would be a church that encourages one another, that calls out what we see you doing in each other's lives. And we pray that we'd be those who encourage one another into the gifts that you have given us. That we'd be ready to cheer on and support each other. And so we pray you'd help us with that adventure. As we seek to be built up. As we seek to reach Headingley and our workplaces and our families and our streets for you. To give people the chance and the opportunity to get to know you for themselves. We pray that you would help us with that adventure and that you would give us boldness and courage to be your hands and your feet, to be your voice, to be your beating heart, to be your breath and to be your words. And Father, we pray that we would see growth. We pray that we'd see growth in one another. We pray that we'd see growth in our mission communities. But we pray that ultimately that we would grow into the fullness of Christ. That you would help us We know that we cannot do that on our own. We know that we need the work of your Spirit in our lives. We're thankful that we have Jesus himself praying for us. And we know and we thank you that you're a good Father. And so we pray and ask that you would help us in 2017 to nurture that culture. We pray that you would develop our character as we use our spiritual gifts and we encourage others to use them too.